A Savior Who Is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
The church sings a different kind of song as its year winds down. Not the world's year, but the church's year. And, of course, it's winding down on this Friday afternoon, November the 23rd. This Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year. And the song is different. It is warning, it is judgment, and it is hope. And the hymn that we're going to study here for the next half hour, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying, is a great example of that. Dr. Paul Grimm joins us. He's Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He formerly served as the Executive Director for the Commission on Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He joins us to study the hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying. Dr. Grimm, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's start with the biblical basis for this very common end of the year and Advent hymn.
The most obvious basis is the parable of Jesus from Matthew 25, the opening parable in that chapter, the story of the 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. That was traditionally the text that was read every Sunday, every last Sunday of the church year, for centuries and centuries, and in some churches even to this day, many churches. We'll hear that story every year on this last Sunday, the church year. And Nicolai's hymn, really, for the most part, especially the first stanzas, is completely based upon that parable of Jesus.
What do we know about the author himself, Philip Nicolai?
Philip Nicolai, he was born about 10 years after Luther died, so that puts him a couple generations after Luther. He was the son of a pastor, and then he became a pastor himself. He studied at Wittenberg. Of course, it's about, 30 years after Luther had died that he is studying, so it's a different place than it was during Luther's time, but still very much the center of Lutheranism at that point, especially as the Lutherans were finding themselves more and more in conflict with both the Roman Catholic Church and with the Reformed Church, the Calvinists. It became important that Reformation teaching was retained, and so he studied there in Wittenberg itself and was a pastor of a number of different churches along the way in the next 30 years.
Why is this hymn, you mentioned it before, that is apropos and commonly sung at this time of the year, why this time in the church year do we sing this hymn especially?
Right. The last few Sundays of the church year, each year as you come to the end of the year, you hear readings that begin to focus our attention toward the future, toward the end of time. And as I mentioned, traditionally it was this parable of the virgins waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, to enter into the banquet hall for the eternal banquet. But there are other passages as well, and with the three-year lectionary that we now have, other texts are as well chosen for some of those last Sundays of the year. So we don't always hear that story of the parable that this hymn is based on, but like we heard yesterday in the reading from the end of Mark's Gospel, again, that whole theme is throughout. It's not just in one particular passage, but that call to watch, to be ready and be prepared. And it really flows very nicely, coming as it does at the end of the church year, then flowing into Advent, which begins that new church year, and that expectation of that coming Savior, not only who came in Bethlehem, whose birth we'll celebrate again here in short order, but also his final coming in judgment as well. That theme even comes through in Advent as well. So it's almost a seamless moving from one end of the church year right back into the beginning of the church year again.
The first stanza of the hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying, by Philip Nicolai. Wake, awake, for night is flying, the watchmen on the heights are crying, awake, Jerusalem, arise. Midnight hears the welcome voices, and at the thrilling cry rejoices, O, where are ye, ye virgins wise? The bridegroom comes, awake, your lamps with gladness take, alleluia, with bridal care yourselves prepare to meet the bridegroom who is near. the first stanza of the hymn we're studying in this half hour with Dr. Paul Grimm, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. It really is just the narrative of the parable itself. What is the central message of Christ's parable and his return?
Very simply, to be prepared, to be prepared for that return at any time. We're reminded, as we heard in yesterday's text, that we're not given the day or the hour, not even the sun, according to human nature, knows that time. But that the Christian is constantly prepared, recognizing it could be today, it could be a long time in the future. But it is, especially as we live in this world where we are so drawn to things temporal, to all the things of this world, much of what we seem to have lost in the past few years with the economic downturn, it's so easy for our lives to be caught up in acquiring things and investing our lives and our time in things and in our activities that we take part in. But all of that for the Christian should always be put in the proper perspective, and that is one that understands that at any time the Lord could appear. With that parable that Jesus tells from Matthew chapter 25, what you find, of course, are of these virgins, you know, if half of them are prepared, they have enough oil in their lamps, they've brought extra oil, whereas there are five, the foolish virgins they're referred to, who do not have enough of oil for their lamps. And in fact, they really don't become a part of that first stanza that we just heard. Nikolai really focuses upon those who are prepared and inviting them to be ready to enter with the bridegroom, who is Jesus, of course. And so it is constantly that invitation for us to be prepared, to be watchful, to be ready, not with a fear or paranoia or anything like that, not to go to a mountaintop, sell all our possessions, and suddenly just sit there and wait. We go about that waiting in the midst of our earthly callings, whether we're parents or husbands and wives, whether we are working in particular, you know, vocations, whether we're students. I mean, we continue in those vocations, those callings, but always with that sub-theme of watching and waiting and being prepared.
A quick question before we go on to the second stanza. In the parable, all 10 virgins fall asleep, and yet just one more time, what is the difference between those that are wise and those that are foolish?
Those that are wise have faith. I mean, they trust in their Lord and have prepared in that sense of focusing upon their Lord and his coming and knowing that coming can be at any time, whereas the foolish virgins have not only allowed themselves to long to sleep, I mean, there is this time of waiting, which has been a long time of waiting, centuries and centuries, millennia we can even count. But they failed to be prepared and to recognize that coming could be any time and that the judge is one who will call us to accounting on that last day, separating the sheep from the goats, which is the next parable that we find, in fact, in that same chapter of Matthew's gospel.
Here is stanza 2 of Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Zion hears the watchman singing, and all her heart with joy is springing. She wakes, she rises from her gloom, for her Lord comes down all glorious, the strong in grace, in truth victorious. Her star is risen, her light is come. Now come, thou blessed one, Lord Jesus, God's own Son, hail, Hosanna. The faithful call, we answer all, and follow to the nuptial hall.
Zion hears,
wake, come sing,
Zion hears,
wake, away,
the watchman sees,
wake, away, wake, away, wake, away,
and all her
wake, away,
heart with joy is springing.
Wake, away,
she wakes, she rises from her gloom, for her Lord,
wake, away,
for
away,
her Lord,
wake, away,
with only a minute here before our break, in fact, a little bit less, Dr. Grimm, comment, if you would, on the marriage feast imagery, so common in so many of Jesus' end times parables. 1 minute.
Right. I mean, it very clearly is drawn from some of the language in Revelation, for example. Now, you also see it in Isaiah, too. But from Revelation chapter 20 or chapter 19, you know, let us rejoice and exalt and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. And that imagery, of course, is very important for the church. St. Paul talks about this when he likens the church as being the bride to Christ, and that we are indeed waiting for that bridegroom to return for the final judgment and for our revelation into heaven. Fascinating, at the end of that stanza, the translation that we chose for the new hymnal, Lutheran Service Book, we actually changed the end of it to try to better reflect what the German is talking about. The last stanza ends, "To eat the supper at thy call," which reflects Nikolai's choice of the word Abendmahl, which is the word for the Lord's Supper. Catherine Winkworth, original translator of this hymn, was not Lutheran, and she missed that, and in fact was missed for many years before we were finally able to make an adjustment that really brings out that full understanding that even here in the Lord's Supper, we are beginning to take part in that eternal marriage feast of the Lamb.
When we come back, Pastor Grimm just mentioned something about the original German of this hymn. Before we go on to that third stanza, a reference to actually the Lord's Supper. So let's answer this question when we come back. What insight is there for us as we observe the end of the year and therefore the end of time, and we celebrate the Lord's Supper in anticipation and participation in the marriage feast of the Lamb that is to come? We'll be right back. Folks, there are 6 weeks left in 2012, and we're $70,000 short of making budget this year. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues, etc., and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make an online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2012.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin, is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. In anticipation of this weekend and the church's celebration of the end of the church year, we're studying the end times hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Dr. Paul Grimm is our guest. Well, at Lutheran Public Radio, that is our sacred music station that runs 24 hours a day, sacred music for the world, we will also be observing the end of the church year, because just like our hymn studies, we don't study them willy-nilly. We follow the church year in studying hymns. So does Lutheran Public Radio. So on this coming Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, at 1 in the afternoon and Sunday evening at 8 Central, we're going to play Johann Sebastian Bach's cantata, Wachet, Betet, Betet, Wachet. It means watch, pray, pray, watch, one of those cantatas for the end of the church year. You can hear it at LutheranPublicRadio.org. You can listen anytime to LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the world, and it follows the course of the church year. Dr. Grimm, before the break, you mentioned this term that was used in the original German of the hymn, Abendmahl, which is usually for Lutherans a way of talking about the Lord's Supper. So what is the insight for the church that is anticipating the end of the church year and the end of time and is participating in already the Lord's Supper, the marriage feast of the Lamb that is to come?
We're getting a little taste now, in short order, the way to put it. It's and so often we, again, so trapped in our fleshly existence, which I don't want to denigrate in any way, but it's so easy to lose sight of that fact that as we approach the Lord's altar on a regular basis, we are, in fact, already beginning that eternal celebration. It's not quite here yet, but it's breaking in, so to speak. Just as the Lord himself broke into our creation as he took on flesh and came into this world that he might save and redeem it, so now he continues to break in, bringing his body and blood not just to one location, but everywhere where his meal is celebrated according to his institution. And so, you know, that part of that preparation and that waiting and that watching is precisely watching with our Lord, already with us, the one who comes to bring us his blessing even now. And so it's not sort of this long distance kind of anxiously waiting, but, you know, we're left alone until that final time. But the Lord himself is the one who carries us along and sustains us and feeds us and nourishes us and gives us that hope that we so desperately long for as we wait for that final return.
Before we hear the final stanza of Wake Awake for Night is Flying, Dr. Grimm, what should we be listening for in the last stanza?
Well, the last stanza starts to draw on a couple more images, scriptural images for sure. You have, first of all, you have the discussion about the shining pearl. I mean, some of the language that comes again from Revelation describing the New Jerusalem, the 12 pearly gates that are described in that one of those final chapters of Revelation. And you also have another passage which comes from Isaiah, and I'll just read this passage very quickly from chapter 64. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any good besides you, who works for those who wait for him. And, I mean, this text begins to just sort of hint at some of these things. I mean, the joy and the glory of that final paradise that has been promised to us. Is sort of given that initial description. Again, it can't begin to do justice to what it will be. We understand that. But yet, I mean, the rich language that Nikolai uses helps us to look forward to that day, and not just because it's going to be a pleasurable experience, but precisely because we will be with the Lord eternally, and we will see him then face to face.
Here is stanza 3 of Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. Now let all the heavens adore thee, let men and angels sing before thee, with harp and cymbal's clearest tone, of one pearl each shining portal, where dwelling with the choir immortal, we gather round thy radiant throne. No vision ever brought, no ear hath ever caught, such great glory. Therefore will we eternally sing hymns of praise and joy to thee. The final stanza of the hymn, Wake, Awake, for Night is Flying. You said that nothing could really do justice to what is promised in eternal life, and yet this imagery, both in the parables of Jesus and in the book of Revelation elsewhere, piles up before our eyes. Obviously, we are being told great things about what is to come in the world to come. about a minute for a response before we hear the entire hymn.
Well, it certainly draws forth our imagination, not in the banal sense, but in that full sense of Scripture, continually points with so many different images to what the joy of heaven will be. What's amazing is that Nikolai has another hymn, an Epiphany hymn, where he does a lot of the same thing, especially at the end, just describing again this wondrous opportunity where we're praying for the Lord to come, in fact. And surprisingly also, these are the only two hymns of Nikolai's that have come down to us. He may have written a few more, not a lot of hymns, though. But yet these hymns have been often recognized as quintessential Lutheran hymns of that very first century of Lutheranism. And in fact, this hymn is referred to often as the King of the Chorales. And the tune, also written by Nikolai, is very stately and very strong, and it carries this text and helps to just sort of evoke those images and helps to prepare us for that wondrous and glorious coming of our Lord Jesus.
Well, let's hear the entire hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying. Dr. Grimm, about 30 seconds for your final thoughts on the hymn, Wake, Awake, For Night Is Flying.
I think, it's called the King of the Chorales, and I think probably it exemplifies in many ways the very best strengths of the Lutheran chorale tradition that we are inheritors of. And that is, It proclaims the gospel in very, very, very clear terms, but also very rich biblical terms and images. It's just not a bland statement of the faith, but one that draws us into wanting to contemplate it further, and it evokes from us images and imaginations of the wonders of heaven that God has prepared. It teaches, but it also gives praise. There's doxology in the hymn as well, as it gives thanks to God for these wondrous gifts and calls on the whole creation to join in celebrating and thanking God for those gifts.
Dr. Paul Grimm is Associate Professor of Pastoral Ministry and Missions and Dean of the Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Paul, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Folks, if you appreciate Issues Etc. hymn studies like this one, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. We're currently about $70,000 short of making budget this year. You can make a secure online donation. Help us reach our budget this year as you have in the last 4 years running at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Now, for any sized year-end contribution, we will send you a CD, Lutheran Service Book, Hymns and Services, and a CD with two of my sermons, one for, of course, Christmas as it approaches, and the other for the Confession of St. Peter. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year. What is the end of the church year for us? It is, just as this hymn says, it is a warning. It is a promise of Christ coming again in judgment. And yet that is, for his church, hope. The greatest hope that there is, the greatest hope that we have, and we do not hope because we don't think it will happen. We hope because we know that based on Christ's promise, it will happen. He will come again. He will deliver on his promise. He will save us on the last day. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.